This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney, coming to you from San Francisco. On this segment of Your Legal Rights, we're going to be talking about bankruptcy law, debtors' rights in dealing with overwhelming debt. I have two wonderful certified specialists in bankruptcy law who have been great supporters of this program for many, 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 many years. Leon Baer, who has an office in Los Angeles, Long Beach, and Encino. He's just constantly running back and forth between those offices. And he's the co-author of the NOLO consumer book, The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You? 5th edition. My other guest is J. Scott Bovitz, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law also. His office is in Los Angeles, along with his wife, Susan Spitzer. Mr. Bovitz is a former chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization, and I want to announce to you, I'm very pleased, that we have an additional funder of this program, the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And so we are on the satellite, everybody, the NPR satellite. And what I want to mention to you right now is that every fourth Wednesday, generally, every fourth Wednesday of the month, we do what's called Call a Lawyer Night. And I'll have a number of attorneys in the conference room here at KALW Public Radio in San Francisco who will take your calls off the air. So you might want to jot down this number, 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. We're doing this program live on April 22nd, so the phone numbers that you will hear during the course of the program are only good on April 22nd. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Additional funding is provided by the Family Law Section of the State Bar and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Scott and Leon, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me back.
Thank you for inviting us again.
You sound terrific, both of you. Let me throw this out to you, because one of the things that I'd like to have you tell us about, but briefly, because there are a number of issues I know you want to tell us all about. What type of practice, Scott, do you have, briefly, in bankruptcy law?
I have a bankruptcy litigation practice. I represent creditors, the people collecting the money, the black hats. I represent debtors, many times in business bankruptcies, sometimes in consumer bankruptcies, and that's what I do.
And how about you, Leon? What's your bankruptcy practice?
My practice couldn't be more different than what Scott does. He and I are both bankruptcy specialists. I represent the little people, consumers mostly, small business, mom-and-pop business owners who have overwhelming debt problems, can't pay their bills, and don't know what to do. And that's what I specialize in. That's the kind of client that I represent.
Well, let me throw something out to you. Frequently, as both of you will remember, when we have done programs over the years, and Scott... I think you and I started doing programs on this, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. I'm not sure.
More.
Is it really longer? Oh, my gosh.
We did it on Spark.
Is that when we were on the Conestoga wagons and coming here? In any event, let me do this. Student loans, delinquent student loans, What's the situation there? My recollection about this is that the government prohibited students from trying to go through bankruptcy. What's the story?
Yeah. Leon, go ahead. Take the first shot.
Okay. Student loans are really the most problematic area right now in consumer bankruptcy practice, and that's because our tools to deal with defaulted student loans or burdensome student loans are very limited. There's very little that we can do. But there are some good and solid suggestions. The first thing people should know is that student loans generally are not discharged in a bankruptcy, but sometimes they can be. The bankruptcy law has a little loophole, a very little loophole, that allows a person to seek what's called a hardship discharge. A hardship discharge means a whole lot more than just what you think when you hear the term hardship. everybody who has a student loan payment probably thinks it's a hardship. What the courts, what Congress and the courts have in mind is that you probably will be suffering from some kind of a serious permanent disability that prevents you from engaging in a meaningful livelihood, that your standard of living is below subsistence level or at subsistence level, that you have really no hope of overcoming this, and this is likely to proceed into the foreseeable future, and that's why you can't pay your student loans and carry on a minimal standard of living.
So that would only be
a very difficult standard for people to meet, basically because it has to be litigated.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a lawsuit in the bankruptcy court to try and prove your case.
I see.
And that's a hard thing to do because the student loan companies, they'll fight you tooth and nail, and the attorney fees get very expensive. It's a really difficult thing for an individual to do on their own. They probably have little hope of succeeding unless they have good representation, and it's just very expensive. It's so much more expensive than just the normal fee for filing a bankruptcy.
Let me ask you this then. There are debt settlement companies that advertise that they can help people generally, not just students, but generally people who are becoming overwhelmed with debt. Are debt settlement companies any more helpful in the situation if a student can't prove a hardship discharge with a disability? Would they be any better?
Leon, let me take that first stab.
Yeah,
Scott, if you would, please.
You've got strong feelings about that. Debt settlement companies are many, many times not qualified to do much at all. They're very aggressive at soliciting business. They make representations many times about their connection with creditors and their ability to help people who are, frankly, looking for help, people who have serious debt problems and for one reason or another want to avoid bankruptcy. I have not run across in my 35 years of practice a debt settlement company that does a legitimate job and earns its keep. Now, that's probably a pretty nasty and harsh statement because there might be some out there, and I certainly haven't run across everyone in the world, but
I've got to jump in and just interject this, and I'll give the floor back to you. In your 33 years, you have not run across one that's legitimate. In my 35 years of bankruptcy law practice, I have not run across one that is legitimate.
Well,
now back to you, Scott.
You've been practicing law 36 years, and I've been practicing law 35 years. That's because you and I have known each other for a long time in connection with it. But, Leon, so the question becomes, and this is I'm being Chuck for just a second here. So somebody needs to negotiate it. Can they stay out of bankruptcy and negotiate it through by calling you up, for example, or someone like you who does this? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, it makes a big difference. There are some people who should not be in a bankruptcy case, or they can't be, even if they want to be. They may be very high income earners. They may have substantial assets that would not be protected and allowed to be kept by them if they file a bankruptcy case, or they may have engaged in financial transactions of the type that will cause problems in a bankruptcy case. So there are occasionally people for whom bankruptcy is not a good debt solution. But for such people, if they have assets, they have significant income, then they are a good candidate for debt settlement. Debt settlements can be made very advantageously. A bill collector is not going to ask for the client's financial statement, and frankly, we're not going to give them a financial statement for the client. We just want a fast, quick settlement of the debt. It doesn't save your credit if you do a debt settlement. And what you got to keep in mind is it just resolves the debt. You might even sometimes owe some income tax on the amount of debt that gets forgiven. It's rare, but it does happen. So, but debt settlement is much more effective done through a bankruptcy specialist because the bill collectors or the lawyers on the other side representing your creditors, they know that we know how to do a bankruptcy case. They
know that the bread and butter of our practice
is bankruptcy.
Let me come back to that. Let me come back. Let me come back. Leon,
a lucky break to have us call and talk to them about actually paying them some money instead of wiping them out in a bankruptcy.
Leon, let me come back to both of you in just a minute. All right, I want to let you know this is our Call a Lawyer night. It is the fourth Wednesday of April, April 22nd. We have 1-800-525-9917, workers' compensation law, criminal law, family law, landlord-tenant law, employment law, tax law, real estate. I hope we have lemon law tonight. I'm not sure. But the number, in case you want to talk with any one of the attorneys who are here for Call a Lawyer, is 1-800-525-9917. Also, I want to let you know, if you'd like to pose a question, call in on the program and speak with my guests on the air, Leon Baer and Scott Bovitz. It's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. I want to let you all know, I'm very pleased about this. We have expanded to the satellite. We have a new funder of the program who has joined the other funders, the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which has certifications for specialties of attorneys throughout the United States. So we're on the satellite, and I hope that some of you outside of California are able to hear this program. In any event, I want to come back to Leon and Scott Bovitz. In case you tuned in a little bit late, my guests are J. Scott Bovitz and Leon Baer. They're both certified specialists in bankruptcy law. The California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which is the major funder of this program, has 11 specialties that it certifies, and Leon and Scott have been certified specialists in bankruptcy law for a good number of years. They did a lot of jumping over hoops or doing a lot of stuff to become certified specialists, which included two different bar exams and getting a whole bunch of support from people who thought they should be doing it. And so it's a real signification or a signal to you as consumers that certified specialists are really what the term is. They are specialists in the law. So, Scott, did you have any comments with respect to what Leon had just said?
Leon and I have strong opinions, and of course it's not State Bar of California doesn't say that debt settlement companies can't operate well or that a certified specialist can solve a problem, but I think the approach, which is surprising to people, that a bankruptcy lawyer could actually reach out and negotiate a deal, particularly if you've got some difficult creditors and maybe you're able to handle the others, is an important lesson in connection with that. Something that Leon said about not wanting to give financial statements, or maybe that wouldn't be normal. If I'm representing a creditor, which I do on a regular basis, I like to see financial information so that I can advise a client whether it makes sense to do something. And a settlement might be payment of a percentage on the debt. If you owe a dollar to a company, maybe they'll take 20 cents or something. But it could also involve payments over a period of time. There are a lot of different parameters in connection with that, and you don't need a lawyer. You don't have to have a lawyer to approach creditors directly, though it's my experience that when a collection person is calling, they often don't have very much authority to work out a deal. Leon, how do you make sure you're talking to someone who actually can help you through that process of negotiating a settlement?
The first thing we want to do is to make sure that the company, the entity we're talking to, is really the owner of the debt. So we need to have some kind of circumstantial warranties to validate the debt that they're entitled to collect. Because so many of these things, these debts, they get bought, sold, and traded more often than major league ball players. So we've got to make sure that the client is going to be dealing with the company that is really entitled to make the collection. Once that is established, I want to talk with the bill collector. I don't really want to talk to lawyers on the other side unless lawyers are already involved. because we can do better talking with a layperson. And we speak with bill collectors, and we treat them respectfully, and we know they have a job to do, and we know that they are looking for some assurance from us that they are getting as good a deal as they can expect to get. And that can be accomplished by establishing a rapport with the individual and establishing some level of credibility with them. I worked my way through college as a bill collector. So when I speak with a bill collector on the phone, that's one of the first things I tell them. I say, look, you know, I'm not the enemy. I'm an attorney. I represent a particular client. I worked my way through college as a bill collector, so I understand where you're coming from.
I used to live in a bank account.
You've got to find ways to break the ice and get things on a friendly level, and then the magic can happen.
Scott, you just said something, and I didn't hear it. What was it?
I said, it's funny, I've known Leon many years. I didn't know that, but I used to, on behalf of creditors, levy on bank accounts and assets as a part of my process in working my way through college. And that's many times the time you realize you have a crisis is a lawyer has been employed, a lawsuit has been filed, and they're out grabbing assets, maybe after a judgment, maybe before the judgment, under certain pre-judgment remedies that they have. And suddenly you had a car in the front driveway and it's been hauled off, or you had money in your bank account and it's gone. Leon, is there a remedy if you actually go the next step and file a bankruptcy petition? Can that money, that car, be recovered by that person?
Yeah, the beauty of bankruptcy is it can reset the clock. Most people who have a debt problem will deal with it by ignoring the debts. And that's actually a very successful strategy until you get your wages garnished or your car repossessed, and then finally you have to deal with it. The filing of a bankruptcy case will create an immediate automatic restraining order that stops what the creditors are doing to you. The automatic stay of the bankruptcy court is the restraining order I'm speaking of, and it stops garnishments, it stops repossessions. In fact, if your car's been repossessed, the filing of a bankruptcy may allow you to get your car back.
Really?
Right away.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Well, let me throw something else out to you, if you would. What if you have an automobile warranty, and the company that has manufactured the car is going through bankruptcy? What can someone, what can a consumer do, if anything, if the auto warranty now is, let's say, perhaps no longer any good?
Scott, this is your field, I think.
You mean like General Motors?
Well,
didn't you represent General Motors in their bankruptcy?
No, I didn't. Well, Chuck, the answer in most company reorganizations, that would usually be in Chapter 11. And if the company survives, most of the time the company will assume these obligations, such as the warranty obligations, and from the perspective of the consumer, it won't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
But it does sometimes make a difference when there's a sale of assets. To everybody else, it looks like GM made cars before it filed bankruptcy and it makes cars after. But there was actually a sale. And in a sale, a buyer can buy those assets free and clear of liens, claims, and encumbrances.
When you say
a fancy phrase,
Scott, when you say
what that means is, I'm sorry, Chuck, go ahead.
When you say a sale, you mean a sale of all of the assets of General Motors?
Yes.
I see.
So the stuff can get sold, and the buyer can buy it. And if it's bought free, and if in fact the court approves that, then silly claims like a warranty claim that you didn't know you're going to have a warranty claim because your car didn't. Oh, I don't have an ignition problem before that you knew about. When you show up at the GM dealer and say, I'd like this fixed and I'm still in warranty, they might say, well, we were those guys over there, but now we're the new entity, also called GM, and I'm very sorry, but we don't honor that warranty. And those battles are sometimes fought in the newspapers as that particular set of issues is being fought now. But most of the time, the bankruptcy court will allow that to be assumed because the buyer wants to buy an active business. They don't want the ill will of not dealing with cars that have warranty problems. A more serious issue arises with respect to personal injuries. Piper Aircraft went into bankruptcy years ago, and assets were sold, and there's a whole question about what about the people who bought a Piper Aircraft in the past, and that Piper Aircraft, one or two or three of them, will fall out of the sky 2 or 3 years after the sale.
Let me come back.
How do we deal with that?
Let me come back to that in just a minute. This is our Call a Lawyer night. I see our lawyers there in the conference room. Number is 1-800-525-9917 if you'd like to speak to any one of them on workers' compensation, criminal law, family law, landlord-tenant law, employment law, tax law, real estate. And tomorrow I want to let you know that my great guest, Leon Baer, will be taking calls. That's tomorrow, Thursday, April 23rd only, from 8 a.m. to noon, and I'll give you that phone number in a little while. But I want to have you call our Call a Lawyer lawyers here. It's 1-800-525-9917. Also, if you'd like to call on the air to speak to my guests, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We've got Scott Bovitz and Leon Baer, who are certified specialists in bankruptcy law. We are trying to give you an idea of what bankruptcy law can do for you if you're in that type of a situation. Scott, if you'll come back to the Piper Cub thing and complete what you were saying, if you don't mind.
The concept was that the buyer was trying to buy a business of making airplanes, without worrying about the liabilities that would come from out there, the customers that had already purchased products with that brand name, as well as the customers going forward. With respect to the customers going forward, a month after a sale of assets to a new company, still doing business as Piper, they make a new airplane, that's still got a warranty, they're still going to fix it. And, you know, if they fall out of the sky, there's going to be liability, mm-hmm. one presumes, in connection with that, if it's a manufacturing defect and not just an operator error with a pilot. But the question is, would liability pass through the case? And there is lots of money on fancy lawyers dealing with this and dealing with it right now on GM as a practical matter. The law permits those kinds of sales free of those pre-bankruptcy obligations. But many, many times it's seamless to the public because that's just there as a business matter. A more practical application of this is, what about pension obligations? City of San Bernardino, City of Stockton being in bankruptcy, City of Detroit. Can they modify the contract pension obligations of the people who worked for 37 years for the city and now are not going to be there? And the bankruptcy code permits pension obligations to be modified, but mm-hmm. there are very special protective provisions, a lot of hurdles to go over before they can be modified. But that power, too, is within the bankruptcy system. And again, we're not really at the consumer level here now. We're talking about big businesses, but it affects consumers because, gosh darn it, they've got a pension out there and they want to know that it's going to be liable. Leon, do you run across.
Let's do this, if you don't mind. Let's take a call. Jamal has been waiting to talk to both of you for several minutes, and I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. Jamal, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate your show very much. I have a question for Leon Baer.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have filed for bankruptcy Chapter 13 a little over 3 years ago, and I know it's my health is not the same anymore, and my business is kind of declining a little bit. Now, I know there's a discharge. I'm wondering if I can file with the motion with the court or with the trustee to discharge from bankruptcy, just pay the lump sum, whatever I owe, which is really not much left, if it's possible.
Jamal, it depends on your Chapter 13 reorganization plan. Can you tell us what percentage of ordinary creditors were going to get paid? Were you paying everybody in full, or just pennies on the dollar?
It's pennies on the dollar, pretty much. It's like
okay.
That's
fine. You will not be allowed to pay off your plan early. because the law requires that you satisfy your commitment period in the Chapter 13 case to pay your best good faith effort for the whole duration of your commitment period. So if your commitment period, let's say, was established as 36 months, you can't pay it off early unless you pay everybody in full.
Oh, okay.
You need to just stick it out and finish the program.
I see what you mean. It's okay, so it's 5 years, period.
Well, I don't know if your plan was 3 years or 5 years, but if you're paying less than the full amount of the claims, you
mm-hmm.
have to stick with the entire duration of your case.
Okay, so there's no way to file an earlier than discharge.
Well, now that I've said that, let me tell you that sometimes we can do it if the Chapter 13 trustee doesn't object, and if we can show some extenuating circumstance that would make the trustee sympathetic towards you.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, it's always still up to the bankruptcy judge. We've been able to do this a couple times, but it's rare.
Let me ask you, Jamel, this. Where do you live?
I work in Berkeley. I live in Richmond.
And which court were you in for the bankruptcy? Were you in San Francisco?
Oakland.
You were in Oakland, in the federal court in Oakland?
Yes, sir.
Did you have a certified specialist in bankruptcy law helping you?
Yes, I have an attorney with me at that time when we filed for bankruptcy. And
how long ago was this?
It's a little over 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Marsh was a 3 years ago.
Let me, if I may.
Your attorney that filed the case, believe it or not, is still your attorney unless the court released them for some reason from representing you. So that person is probably still your lawyer.
He can go back to them and discuss this. He quit doing Chapter 13. He's doing only Chapter 7, according to what he said. And
I see.
He said we're not practicing anymore, so I don't know.
Well, let me give you something, Jamel, which I feel would be very helpful. As I said at the top of the program, this segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. My suggestion, and maybe Leon and Scott have some other thoughts for you, but my suggestion is you might want to either call the board at 415-538-2100, or go to the internet on your computer at www.calbar.ca.gov. Go to the left of your screen to Legal Specialist, put in Alameda County, and you'll find out who the legal specialists in bankruptcy law are, and you can call and find out if you can make an appointment to have an initial consultation. What thoughts, Leon? Do you?
Can I have that number again? If you don't mind, the phone number again.
Yeah, 415.
Yes, sir.
538-2100. That's the statewide number for the California Board of Legal Specialization. You can call them, and ask them who are the certified specialists in bankruptcy law in Alameda County, and they'll give you some names and some phone numbers.
Sure.
And let me ask my guests how you should approach it if you do get an appointment. So take the balance on the air. Would you turn your radio back up? Leon, what recommendations? And we have about 1 minute left in the statewide version of the program.
Okay. He should go see, hopefully, a certified bankruptcy specialist. And they need to look at the claims that were filed in the case. He says his plan was approved to pay pennies on the dollar. And in cases like that, oftentimes, a lot of creditors will neglect to file a proof of claim. It's possible that there's very few claims filed in his case, and maybe he can modify his plan and pay everything in full, that is, to pay the filed claims and still not have to pay anything on the unfiled claim.
Mm-hmm.
There's different ways to work it. An experienced bankruptcy attorney who deals with Chapter 13 understands these things and has a lawyer's bag of tricks, of things to look for to try and get the job done. Sometimes it can be, sometimes it can't be.
Leon and Scott, we're going to take a brief break at this point because this is the end of the statewide version of Your Legal Rights, which is recorded and then sent out to 15 other stations in California, which will air the half hour next week. All right. This is Your Legal Rights at your local public radio station in San Francisco, which is KALW Radio. I want to alert all of you that this program is not only live in the Bay Area on KALW 91.7. It's live on the Internet at www.kalw.org. And it's also live for the first time on the NPR satellite on this segment of April 22nd. So for those of you who may be in other states, I hope you will join us every week. I hope your local public radio station will actually take the program. It is our Call a Lawyer night, which we normally do on the fourth Wednesday of the month. I have a number of very fine attorneys here who've done this a number of times. The number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Let me tell you who they are. For workers' compensation law, certified specialist Alice O'Sullivan, former chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Criminal law, certified specialist Jeff Hayden, who is also the president of the San Mateo County Bar Association. Family law, certified specialist Janet Lee Frankel. Landlord-tenant law, Nelson Goodell. Employment law, Tahi Astanehi. Tax law, real estate law, Frank Adam, pardon me for grumbling there for a moment. Also, I want to alert all of you tomorrow. And by the way, the phone numbers that we are giving are only good for this evening. That is the 1-800-525-9917 and 1-415-841-4134 are only good for this segment on April 22nd. But tomorrow, Thursday, April 23rd, my guest Leon Bayer, with his generosity of time at his office in Los Angeles, will take calls from 8 a.m. to noon. If you want to call him and get some words of advice from him, it's 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you get his answering machine, leave your name and phone number and say that you are a listener to a listener of Your Legal Rights. So let's do this. Let's come back, if we can, for a minute, and let me ask you if you would tell us the types of bankruptcy. We've talked about, I think you talked about Chapter 13 with Jamal. There's a Chapter 11. There's a Chapter 7. What's the difference between a 7 and 11?
Scott, you want to do that?
Sure. A Chapter 7, from an individual's perspective, is putting in as assets that would not be protected, assets that would be protected, and hopefully keeping most of those assets as exempt, losing perhaps some of those assets to a bankruptcy trustee who will sell them and pay some money to creditors, and getting a discharge at the end of the day of hopefully most, if not all, of that person's debts. If a corporation files a Chapter 7, it is really just a liquidation. There is no discharge with respect to that corporation. They're both called Chapter 7, and that's a little bit confusing. One of the things that we were talking about earlier is whether every debt is dischargeable. No, and one of the debts that's typically not dischargeable would be student loans, at least fresh student loans. And I wanted to mention a book on this for our lawyers listening. The American Bankruptcy Institute is a national, well-respected group. Think of it kind of like our union, but it's a voluntary group. And it's published a book called Graduating with Debt, Student Loans Under the Bankruptcy Code. Graduating with Debt, Student Loans Under the Bankruptcy Code, 2013 publication. And for the law that's available today, that is the state of the law, and it's got not only a history of this whole thing, but it's got sample forms and such, and it's still readable by normal human beings, and it's not too long. Leon, did I do okay with that description? Maybe Chapter 13
sure.
is a little different.
One other thing to mention about Chapter 7, and that is most people, not everybody, but most people who file Chapter 7 don't have anything taken away by the court. The law, especially in California, is extremely generous about allowing you to file a bankruptcy and keep assets that are important for you to make a fresh start in life.
What about your home? What about your home? What if you have, you're overwhelmed with your mortgage? What's the situation there?
I'm sorry, Chuck, you faded out. I couldn't hear what
your home. What if your home? What if you have had real problems? You've lost your job. You haven't been able to pay the mortgage in many months. You're being threatened with losing your home. What's the situation for someone like that who might? Go ahead.
For example, I've seen Scott's home, and I can tell you no one would want it.
That was nasty, Leon.
California
nasty.
All right. I won't be nasty anymore.
Okay.
California will allow most people to protect a very sizable amount of equity in your own residence where you live. Equity is the value in that property that you would have left over if you sold it and paid all your mortgages. California will allow a single person, in most circumstances, to protect $75,000 of equity. If you are elderly or disabled, you may be able to protect $175,000 of equity. If you're not elderly, you're not disabled, but you're married or a head of household, then you can protect $100,000 of equity. Most people who file a bankruptcy or need a bankruptcy, consider a bankruptcy, don't have anywhere near that much equity in their home. But if they have too much equity to be protected, then we start talking about debt settlement. There's other things you get to keep. You get to protect money in most kinds of retirement plans. IRA accounts are going to be protected to something just over $1 million. Think of that, $1 million in an IRA account, and you can file bankruptcy. So the laws in bankruptcy are very fair to the person who files. Chapter 13 is different. The idea to Chapter 13 is you're going to pay something to certain creditors. You may be going into Chapter 13 to manage debts that couldn't be managed under a Chapter 7. For example, most kinds of tax debts won't be discharged, but often enough, they can be. That's something to talk with a bankruptcy specialist about.
You know,
Chapter 13 offers a great way to manage and force a repayment schedule on creditors who have debt claims that you couldn't get rid of in a Chapter 7. It also gives you a great way to solve a foreclosure problem on real estate. If you're behind on payments and your lender won't work with you, maybe you've had some temporary problems such as a long period of unemployment, but that's behind you, you're back to work making money, but you don't have the money to catch up all those payments that came due that you never paid while you were out of work. Chapter 13 lets you force the lender into a repayment schedule where you can take up to 5 years to pay back the payments that you missed. During that whole period of time, your property is protected, the bank or the loan servicer is not allowed to foreclose on you, and you can get back on your feet. It's a fantastic legal remedy.
Would you explain why is it that IRA plans are protected from any kind of through bankruptcy? In other words, you could have several hundred thousand dollars in an IRA plan. Why is that protected?
May I take a run at that?
Sure, please, Scott.
Because Congress said so and because the state legislature said so. And Leon's talking about exemptions in California, which for our NPR satellite listeners may vary widely from state to state. But the thought is we don't want people living under bridges.
Yeah.
We don't want people relying on some sort of government entity to pay for them in their retirement. We want them to religiously and regularly set aside money to take care of their retirement. And if they are being diligent and they are taking care of that, we want to protect that. And there are different types of plans. Some plans have a sort of a test of how much money do you really need, buddy, test in them. But others are actually almost always protected, and so we encourage that. Leon, do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, it comes down to public policy. You know, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, people who couldn't pay their debts were put into debtor's prison. And that worked for a number of centuries, but finally government and the population at large turned against the debtor's prison system, because if you're a taxpayer, why should you pay the freight to keep somebody in prison over a debt that they owe? That should be adjusted between the person who owes the money and the creditor. Leave the public out of this. And the concept developed over the years that instead of grinding people down, find a way to lift them back up so they can stay in the mainstream, continue to earn money, pay taxes, contribute to their communities in a positive way. And you can't do this if everything you own gets stripped away from you. You know, if you walk out of bankruptcy court with only the clothes on your back, you don't have much of a chance going forward to be the productive citizen that the country wants you to be. That's why we have established over the years a very strong tradition of allowing you to exempt, that is, to keep certain kinds of property. And as Scott said, retirement plans have a special place in the bankruptcy law, because we don't want you in your old age to be living under a freeway bridge or wandering around homeless. It's important that you be able to retain assets to care for yourself at a time when you won't be able to care for yourself. You won't be able to work it. And so the idea is you're going to keep these assets. And even if it hurts the interest of creditors, balancing the hardship between the burden you'd put on society if the rest of the community has to support you versus the burden it puts on creditors if they can't take away your IRA account, well, Congress has sided with you, the individual, that you need protection for your future even at the expense of your creditors.
Let me tell the listeners who's talking here. That was Leon Baer. He's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. His offices are in Los Angeles, Long Beach, and Encino. He is the co-author of the NOLO Consumer book, The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You?, the fifth edition. My other guest is J. Scott Bovitz. He's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. Also, his firm is Bovitz & Spitzer in Los Angeles. Mr. Bovitz is a former chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Funding for your legal rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which I've let you know about. And funding for is also provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco, and if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, California, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own, tell them what the situation is. They'll do their best to try to find someone who's experienced for you to try to help you in your situation. For a half an hour consultation in California, with minor exception, for a half an hour the cost will be $25 to $35. I don't know what the situation is throughout the United States, but I think that probably it's pretty much comparable state by state in terms of trying to give people help initially at a minimal charge before actually the hourly charge sets in. So if you would like to join us on the air with my guests, it's 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. If you'd like to talk to a lawyer off the air, no obligation, by the way, on your part. These are attorneys who have been doing this over the years. They're very generous with their time. We do this once a month, usually the fourth Wednesday of the month. The numbers that I'm giving you tonight on April 22nd are numbers only for tonight, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. On the air, that number also is only good for this evening, April 22nd, 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. And I want to thank our attorneys who are here for Call a Lawyer, Alice O'Sullivan, a former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization, Jeff Hayden, president of the San Mateo County Bar Association, Janet Lee Frankel, certified specialist in family law, Nelson Goodell, landlord-tenant law, Tahi Astanehi, employment law, and Frank Adam, tax law and real estate law. They're here to talk with you over the next few minutes if you'd like to call in at 1-800-525-9917. I think either you gentlemen have just lulled our listeners into just harmony, because I don't have anybody else. Well, wait a minute. Someone's calling now, so maybe we're going to have someone else talk to you.
Can I mention just another interesting read?
Please, if you would.
Early in the program, we were talking about debt collection, and there's a book by an author, Jake Halpern, H-A-L-P-E-R-N, called Chasing Debt from Wall Street to the Underworld. Chasing Debt from Wall Street to the Underworld, and it's a book which is a real interesting, fun, quick read about the layers of passing bad debt from the big guys to the medium guys to the little guys, which Leon's talking about, and gives you some sense of the type of person you might be talking to when they're trying to collect debt. So it's a good read, and I have no association with it, but I've seen him speak, and he's quite a speaker.
Where does the underworld come into this? It's quite kind of intriguing. What does that mean?
The premise of Mr. Halpern's book is that it goes in an unregulated market from high-quality folks who follow the rules of the road, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and applicable state laws, all the way down to the Guido equivalent who doesn't pay very much for some bills and goes out strong-arms people to collect without really having anything more than a spreadsheet to say that somebody owes money and without having that paper. And Halpern's view is that's pretty close to being in the underworld without exactly accusing them of being in the mafia and so forth.
Again, the author is Jake, J-A-K-E, Halpern, H-A-L-P-E-R-N.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. That's terrific. So, and the other book that you mentioned to us was Graduating with Debt. And what was the following title?
Graduating with Debt, and the subtitle is Student Loans Under the Bankruptcy Code. The author would be Daniel Austin, like the city of Austin, and Susan Hauser, H-A-U-S-E-R.
H-A-U-S-E-R. Okay, terrific. All right. We have Andrea. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just found out that a relative of mine who is 67 years old is $150,000 in debt. He has no possessions anymore. Except for the computers that he needs to run his business. And it's extremely upsetting for his family to hear that, whereas we thought that he was doing okay, that he's really needing financial help. And I suggested that he file for bankruptcy, but he wants to hold on to the business that he's established over a period of years and as a source of income, because he really has, that's his primary skill. And I just wonder whether you have any suggestions.
Where does he live, Andrea?
He lives in Marin County.
In Marin County.
Yes.
This is a Leon question, Chuck.
Yeah. Leon, would you respond to give Andrea some general thoughts on this?
He will benefit a great deal by getting legal advice from a bankruptcy expert. Filing a bankruptcy does not necessarily mean that he will lose his business. Filing a bankruptcy does not necessarily mean that his business will even be interrupted. The most important thing he needs right now is good information so that he can decide for himself what he wants to do. And it is very plausible that for him that there is a bankruptcy remedy, either Chapter 7 or Chapter 13, that will protect his business, resolve his debt problems, and let him enjoy the golden years.
I would add this, too. When I talk to someone like that, the numbers may be different than the people I talk to or not, but if you've got that, where you've got $115,000 in debt, you say, well, what does the business generate in profit in a given year, in a given month? What are its current expenses and its current income? And you've got to see if there's a positive business there. If there's not, what is he fighting for? I mean, truthfully. Mm-hmm.
And that is just so true. Andrea, I will tell you that when I speak to people and advise them, people with a huge debt load like that oftentimes really have not been making any money. That's mm-hmm. why they have so much debt, because the debt represents unearned income that they've already spent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But take them to a lawyer, take them by the hand, and drive them to a lawyer. Most bankruptcy lawyers will give a free consultation. Most bankruptcy lawyers will not object if you sit in there with him so long as he's agreeable.
Okay.
But help him get the advice, the information, so that he will know what he really can do.
Andrea, let me give you again, in case you didn't give it, you didn't hear it, the California Board of Legal Specialization statewide number. If you'd like to find out who the certified specialist in bankruptcy law are in Marin County, 415-538-2100. And if you go to the internet on your computer, the website is www.calbar.ca.gov. Go to the left of the screen to the words Legal Specialists. Click that on and put in Marin County, and you will find out who the certified specialists in bankruptcy law are in Marin County, and you can do some inquiry to find out, will you do an initial consultation without charge, et cetera, et cetera, and help your relative to get some help. So good luck.
Very good. Thank you all so much.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Great to have you give us a call. We have a few minutes left. It is still Call a Lawyer Night, 1-800-525-9917. Again, this number is good tonight only, April 22nd. Tomorrow, my guest Leon Bayer, who's an incredibly generous guy with his time and has been doing this in conjunction with my program for at least 10 years. Maybe it's been longer. I'm not sure. Mr. Bayer's office is in Los Angeles. He will be available tomorrow, Thursday, April 23rd, from 8 a.m. to noon, 800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. If you call and the line is busy and you get his voicemail, please leave a message with your name and phone number and say that you heard Mr. Bayer on the program, Your Legal Rights, and you'd like to talk to him, and he'll call you back. So,
and I will.
Yeah, you do. You've been incredibly generous, and Scott, over the years, you've been incredibly generous. When Scott and I first started doing this, which, what, over 20 years, Scott?
Yes, sir.
You used to fly up here, right?
That was the only way to do it.
And then we finally discovered the telephone, and we did it by telephone. So in any event,
it's a great pleasure to be in a small room with you with a bunch of big metal microphones.
Well, it's kind of fun. Anything. Yeah, it is. It is the best way we can do it. But obviously, to take an air flight up from L.A. up to San Francisco and come here to the station doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of how valuable your time is. Well, again, the number, in case you have a question you want to ask or a problem you want to present to my guests on the air, 1-415-841-4134. You know, at one point, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that there is a Chapter 11. Does it apply to human beings, or to whom or to what does it apply?
May I take that, Leon?
Please.
Yes, I think this is up your alley.
Okay. Yes, the Supreme Court of the United States has said that individuals can file Chapter 11. It is at least as much a creditor remedy, though, as it is a personal get-out-of-debt, get-a-discharge remedy. But you can file a Chapter 11. It is sort of like a Chapter 13, where An individual would typically offer to pay some money over time to creditors, probably from earnings. And that is a prototypical type of Chapter 11 individual plan, or to hang on to a house long enough to actually get it sold and pay the secured debt. Even though the foreclosure is just happening next week, you can slow down that foreclosure with the automatic stay and put it in Chapter 11. But it's very cumbersome. It has lots of rules and requirements because, again, you've got big companies filing in there, airlines, and as well as people, and that makes it too expensive most of the time. And the reason that you'd end up in Chapter 11 is because there are some restrictions on eligibility for Chapter 7 and Chapter 13. Maybe you can't get into one of those chapters, and so that's why you might find yourself in Chapter 11. Leon, your thoughts?
Yeah, there are very few individual persons who really need or ever will file Chapter 11 cases. But the Chapter 11 remedy is interesting, and the unfortunate aspect, as Scott says, is you've got to play by the same rule book that governs the big Chapter 11 cases, like General Motors Chapter 11. So you, the little guy, you got to follow the same rule book, and it gets very expensive in terms of the time of lawyers and accountants to do all the myriad tasks that are required under the Chapter 11 statute. But if you can wade your way through that, it can give you a wonderful opportunity to reorganize a problem, either to liquidate assets at fair market value instead of fire sale prices, or maybe even retain assets by reorganizing your business and finding a way to become profitable. If you have a couple different retail stores and you've got a few stores that are profitable and you've got a few that are losing money, maybe you can reject the leases on the bad stores and keep the good stores. And that's really the stuff that Scott gets involved in. But these are really important legal remedies in the right kind of case.
We have
and
just
there are
about
many people, unfortunately,
Leon,
who file a Chapter 11 who shouldn't, and they may find a lawyer to take a case for a couple $1,000s, and the lawyer knows perfectly well the client's going to fall flat on his face because he can't comply with all the regulatory compliance, and it's really unfortunate because the
Leon, we have just about run out. Leon, let me ask you to stop. We've just about run out of time. I want to thank both of you very much for joining us on the program. It's a great pleasure to have both of you on. They are certified specialists in bankruptcy law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Leon Baer and J. Scott Bovitz, both in Los Angeles. Thank you both very much. I greatly appreciate your being with us.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, Chuck.
I want to let you know what's happening next week on Your Legal Rights. The topic is public safety. Juveniles who commit serious crimes, should they go into rehabilitation or should they be sent to adult prison? My guests are California authorities, Steve Wagstaff, District Attorney of San Mateo County, Chris Arriola, Supervising Deputy District Attorney, Santa Clara County, Jeff Hayden, Certified Specialist in Criminal Law, Frankie Guzman, attorney with National Center of Youth Law, and Judge Eugene Hyman, retired. So I think you'll find this very interesting, and I hope you have enjoyed listening to this program. I'm sorry that not everyone has been able to get on the air. Please remember this for the future, that we do Call a Lawyer Night once a month, usually the fourth Wednesday of the month. And you can call in no matter where you are to 1-800-525-9917 and speak to any one of our attorneys off the air. No obligation on your part whatsoever. So I hope you will join us wherever you may be, whether it's in California or in some other state. Again, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Join us again. Thanks for listening to the program. I'm Chuck Finney.